Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I go out to Iowa City, and if I'm leaving for here, I'll go over to 61, and end up getting annoyed at all the traffic on I-80. And if I get annoyed enough on the trip back, so I stopped at Casey's in Clarence, and I saw a very strange thing at Casey's in Clarence. Three young men who seemed out of place at the Casey's in Clarence. And one of the young men had a silver face with brown rings around both of his eyes. I wonder, do you ever get annoyed? I get annoyed if I'm talking to somebody and they're checking the phone. I get annoyed when I'm riding my bike on the Duck Creek Trail and somehow only two walkers manage to take up the whole trail. And I ring my bell and I say, on your left, and then I'm annoyed because I know they're going to go on social media and talk about how the e-bike riders run them off the trail. People running red lights in Davenport. That's a little bit beyond annoying. The small town librarian who's a stickler for the rules can be annoying. And she can tell I'm annoyed. And that annoys her. But enough about me. What is it that annoys you? I looked it up on the internet at what most people get annoyed about, and I can only conclude one thing. A lot of people on the internet need to get a life. You know what annoys Satan? You. You annoy Satan. That's what annoys him. Christians, we have a history of annoying Satan. We've been annoying Satan for about 2,000 years, beginning with the original Christian who annoyed Satan. You know, there was only one temple, and it was in Jerusalem, and it's been gone for almost 2,000 years, and that's okay. One temple, many synagogues, like the one over on Kimberley where bishops used to be, in Capernaum, where we find Jesus today, they have excavated two synagogues and what they think to be the home of Peter's mother-in-law next week. And that synagogue service in Capernaum in the time of Jesus, what did that service look like? Well, it looked a lot like the church service we do today and every Sunday, including they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. He was teaching in the synagogue. If you learn something in church today, do not be surprised. That's a good thing, to learn things about God in church. That's what I'm shooting for here. We're doing the same thing that they were doing during the Jerusalem church after Pentecost, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the readings, the sermon, fellowship, the breaking of bread, Luke's sacrament for the altar, for the sacrament of the altar, and prayer. And you add music, and you get hymns and the other prayers. And Satan finds those things to be particularly annoying. Sunday morning, Sunday's not fun day for Satan, annoying. And here the pastor reads from the lectionary because Paul specifically tells Timothy, the pastor, to read the scriptures during the divine service. In the time of Jesus, the ruler of the synagogue read from the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't there yet. And not just anybody. Paul was an educated theologian. invited to preach. Jesus was a pretty good theologian. Jesus knew a lot about God. And he was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Why were those people in the synagogue gobsmacked by the teaching of Jesus? Because he taught them as one who had authority. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And not as the scribes. And that doesn't say much for the scribes, doesn't it? Who were supposed to know their stuff and who were supposed to teach. I sometimes use that term Bible scholar in a derogatory manner when they're not. But they're supposed to be. When Mark contrasts Jesus as one recognized as an authority when teaching about God, he's talking about the kind of authority that comes not out of the barrel of a gun, forcing people to believe or do something. He's talking about the authority that comes from being able to persuade people to believe that what you're saying is true. Classical rhetoric. We ride our bikes quite a bit in the summer. We try to bike all the main trails around the Quad Cities every summer. It's become a tradition to park at Butterworth, ride up to Rapid City, and eat Thai. This past spring, when we rode past the Harvester Works in East Moline, where are the combines? Usually a whole parking lot full of combines there. Where are the combines? I wonder, maybe everybody who needed a combine bought one and they're out. Maybe it has something to do with the strike. Maybe. So I told bin expert Lyle about those strange men at Casey's in Clarence. One of them with a silver face and the brown circles about around his eyes. Ben expert Lyle, he knew what I was talking about. And I ran it past former bin climbers Matt and Tim, and they knew. Maybe, probably some of you know. Those people in Capernaum, they knew that this Jesus seemed to know about God. Jesus was not getting, he wasn't who he was supposed to be. He wasn't like the Pharisees. He was teaching, and they were shocked, amazed, astonished at his teaching. But not everybody was down with what Jesus was saying. As usual, the response to preaching about Jesus was mixed. The demons, in particular, that were dwelling inside of that man did not like what Jesus had to say. And that's a preposition of location, not a preposition of motion. In other words, it does not say that the man with demons came into the synagogue. It says that he was located in the synagogue. It means he had heard the preaching of Jesus and he was not surprised by what he heard. He, the man, the demons in him, know Jesus. I know who you are, the demons say, and they do. The demon inside that man, that demon and God have a history. Moses starts Genesis with "in the beginning." Before that, before "in the beginning," sometime in eternity, God created angels. I'm not the only or first person to note that not all things are the same. Natural man can see that humans, for example, are not the same as stones, for example. And Christians see that probably better than the natural man. That the Christians in medieval times came up with they called it the chain of being. The chain of being has God up at the top, followed by the angels, then the humans, the animals, plants, and minerals. God is eternal. Angels were created by God to worship him and to serve him, but that was not good enough for an angel named Lucifer, who took on God and he lost. And God expelled Lucifer and his other angels who were with him from his presence. They became Satan and his helpers, the demons. And from that time, the time after the fall, it's been right and wrong, good and evil, winners and losers. It is ever since God expelled Satan from heaven. It's been that. It annoyed Satan to no end that God created all of this, and it's beautiful for us. It annoyed Satan more that God made us in his image and placed us into this beautiful place, and it's all at your disposal. It annoyed Satan that God talked to man to God. Some people call this the holy conversation. They talk about what we do here on Sunday morning, the holy conversation between God and his people. Satan could not bear to behold Adam and Eve actually living the dream in actual absolute paradise. There's a German word, Schadenfreude, literal meaning harm joy. It means being happy at somebody else's hardship. The experience of pleasure, joy, or self-satisfaction that comes from learning of or witnessing troubles, failures, pain, or humiliation of another, Schadenfreude. That's Satan seeing the troubles, the failure, the pain of Adam and Eve after the fall. He likes it. He likes it. So it doesn't say exactly what Jesus was teaching when he was teaching in the synagogue. Perhaps he was talking about how the Christ will come to defeat Satan and destroy his power. Whatever Jesus was saying, the demon asked the mother of rhetorical questions, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" As a matter of fact, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." James talks about what some might call head knowledge about Jesus, contrasted with heart knowledge, actually believing in Jesus. James talks about how the demons believe and tremble, like here. The demons know who Jesus is, the Holy One of God, and he knows that he should be afraid. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." First, Jesus commands the demon to stop talking. This is the house of God. This is sacred space. And there's no place here for the enemy of God to be speaking. Even if that enemy of God is speaking the truth, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Then he commands the demons to leave the man, and the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice. Robert Bennett, he's one of us. He's a pastor and missionary. They see demons leaving people all the time in places like Madagascar. Robert Bennett says that the sound demons make, they still make, when they're booted out of Christians in Madagascar and other places, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed. So they heard what they heard, and when they saw what they saw, they were amazed. A different word, a stronger word. Everything said above, shocked, amazed, astonished, and then add, it was a little bit scary. A little bit scary when they saw that going on. So they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So it's one thing to say that he is God Almighty. Then he shows them that he is just that. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And that was done using words. When the shepherds went about spreading the good news of the Christ child, they did it using words and sentences. That's how knowledge about the triune God and Jesus spreads today. Words, sentences, paragraphs, preaching and teaching using words. I think I learned early on, my pastor told me, that in the Bible, God tells us what we need to know, and he doesn't tell us things that we don't need to know. More to the point, there are things about God that we can't know or understand simply because we are not God. God does invite us, Jesus said, to think of him as our Father. And what does that mean, to think of God as our Father? Well, children often cannot understand their parents. And I know growing up that sometimes I thought my father was the craziest coot alive. Doesn't he get anything? We often do not understand God, and then we should get annoyed at God because we can't understand everything about God. So we had a family gathering last spring at the Davila's in East Moline. Factory expert Jesse was doing the cooking. I told him about the combines over at Harvester. What's going on there, I wonder? And he says, well, go ask Jordan. That's his granddaughter's new husband. He works there. They're doing construction over there. Doing construction. That's why the combines. Got that wrong, didn't I? Not even close. And when I saw that young man at Casey's in Clarence, the one with the silver face and the brown circles around his eyes, I walked out and ran into a nicely dressed white man, and I asked him if they were painting grain bins. And he was surprised that I knew that. He told me he lives down in Georgia, comes up here every Sunday and paints grain bins, and he loves it in Iowa, best place in the world. I told him, a man named Tom Gorman from Alabama used to paint grain bins in Milan 50 years ago. That's my cousin, he said. He's retired now, he said. So I understood what that silver face and brown circles, they wore goggles, what that meant. But probably you did not. Maybe some of you did understand that. You understand things that I don't understand. And we know a lot about God, and we understand a lot about God. We understand he created us. He put us here in this wonderful creation. We fell into sin. He sent the Savior to save us from that sin and win victory over sin, death, and Satan. We understand that and a lot of things about God, but we don't understand everything about God. And people get into trouble when they can't accept that. It's a way of life. Children trying to understand their parents. I think parents don't always understand their children. Husbands and wives. Co-workers. And sometimes we think we know and we're not even close. Sometimes we don't have a clue. And God. And God. But we keep learning, because that's the way our religion is. Amen. peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.